Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and it's great to be back with you once again on Holy Spirit Radio. We've got a great show for you today. I'll tell you about it after we pray. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of another day. Father, we know you have big plans for us, so we ask you to guide us throughout the day. Help us always do your will. Help us be able to show your love to those around us. We lift up anyone who is sick, anyone who is anxious, anyone who is lonely this day. We pray for those who are struggling with addictions. We pray for those who are dealing with extreme weather conditions. We pray for the homeless, the homebound. And of course, we pray for all of our priests, our religious, and our deacons, and our clerk, and our priests, religious, and our deacons. And we ask you, Father, to guide us on the program today to help us to speak your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All kinds of things going on in the studio. Not sure what buttons to push. I hear noises going on. I have Frank Eliason and Dave Parker looking at me. Boys, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What are you going to do about it? Well, about the noises and all the other stuff?
There's a lot of distractions around here.
I'm sorry I'm here.
No, hey. that other noise that... Hopefully it doesn't go out over the air, but it's our EMS. We always get a message on Tuesday morning.
Well, EMS, you should explain. That's jargon.
Oh, yeah, that's emergency management system.
Yeah, so the emergency alert system, it was going off in the background. And normally you can't hear things in the studio.
Right.
But that's one thing that is so loud that you typically do hear.
Comes through the glass. Yeah,
that is correct.
Soundproof.
We have a new one actually on its way. I'm curious if the new one will make sound quite like that.
Okay. It's interesting being in a radio studio.
It's like a foghorn.
Yeah. But we have a great show for you today. Coming up today, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma. He makes an appearance every other week from Steubenville, from Franciscan University at Steubenville. He's going to continue his story as we look at the life of Abraham. Also, Brian Mercier will be here. And Frank and Dave, I wanted to get Brian on the show. He is a regular guest. His book is called Why Do You Believe in God? But, you know, in light of what's been going on in the world, I talked to Brian about this. I typically don't watch the news that much. I mean, we'll watch a little bit of it to see what's going on. But I watched the news yesterday about the shooting. Saw some of the details, how half of the victims were children.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There are people who are going to look at that and say, why would God allow that? Therefore, I don't believe in God. Other people will look at that and be unfazed by that and say, of course, God allows things to happen. I wanted to get Brian on to talk a little bit about that. Why is it that some people can look at the bad things that are happening in the world and say, absolutely, God exists? Why do some people look at that and say, that's proof that he doesn't exist? Why do people look at the miracles of Jesus, and we see this in the Bible, and say, yeah, but he's doing it on a Sunday, on the Sabbath, and other people look and say, wow. A miracle, I believe.
Well, speaking as someone who actually lost a child, ultimately, when these things happen, you are going to go through a variety of emotions. And so it's true of the parents and the people there, but it's also true of anyone who watches over this. So it's perfectly acceptable for some of these people to actually question, is there a God to allow a loss of a child? And, you know, I will tell you honestly, for myself going through what we went through, we did question it.
Right.
You ultimately do. Now, at the same time, there's other things or other parts of our daughter's life that you start to look at and go, whoa, wait a second. There's something there. There's something more detailed there. But, you know, you don't necessarily see it at the time. You see it, like, usually later on as you start looking back. And so, you know, I think it's kind of an interesting topic because thankfully, not many people understand it. You know, they don't understand what it's like to deal with these things. And, you know, but when it happens, it is something that you have to sit there and go, is there a God that would allow such a thing?
Right.
You know, and that's okay. And even people that are watching over this, if you know people that are questioning it or you're even questioning it, that is okay. It is actually one of the ways that you actually build your faith stronger when you start to look at these things. So just my two cents.
And that's very
healing.
Powerful.
Yeah. It helps healing.
I agree. And Frank, thank you for sharing that. I didn't intend to go there this soon, but I think it's important that we address these issues. We can't run from them. They're out there. People are looking at the world saying earthquakes, hurricanes, devastation, terrorism. Why would God allow this? People are going to look at that, and we're here to proclaim the truth.
Yeah, and but I think we tend to have extreme views. I think some people sometimes will see it and just be like, you know, yes, there is a God, and like that is it, and you know, you can't question that. Well, no, it's the right of some people to, and it's good to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's part of that path. We're all on this interesting path in life, and there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs.
Absolutely.
And as you go through each of those things, you know, you'll be able to then build that faith. They call it faith for a reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gary, what you enumerated, like earthquakes and tornadoes, I mean, those are things we cannot control.
Right.
And we don't. I mean, we're at the mercy of them. So it's all in our approach. You know, we can learn all about them scientifically, but we cannot control them. When an earthquake happens, it happens. We cannot push a button and say, oh, stop that right now. And it's out of our control, folks. So as are a lot of things.
But you know, there are going to be people who will say, "Why does God allow this to happen? Why can't God make all the earthquakes go away?" In other words, why? And it is a really a big mystery. And I think one of the guys who does such an excellent job with explaining this is Father Robert Spitzer.
Oh yeah,
Father Spitzer looks at the world, and I've read some of his books, and I would encourage you to read his books, even if you think you're not that smart. Father Spitzer is a brilliant guy, but he writes in a very understandable way. His program airs on
Father Spitzer's University. Universe is aired every Friday at 8 p.m. It also re-airs on the weekend. I think it's Sunday at 12, if I'm not mistaken. I'm doing that off the top of my head.
Yeah. You go, Frank.
Good. Yeah, yeah. And it's a show I enjoy very much. And we play it in the jukebox every once in a while.
And he talks about the fact that more often than not, God works in the ordinary. God has set things up to work a certain way, and God gives us free will. And he explains it, Father Spitzer explains it in a really understandable way, in that if every time we asked God for something, he would give us what we need or what we want, that wouldn't really be him expressing his love.
Exactly.
And would also lead to us, Frank, you talk about the power of faith and the need for faith. There would be no faith required there. I knew that God would give me whatever I wanted, whether it's good for me or not, well, then he becomes a vending machine.
Well, I think one of the things is these horrible things that happen, they start to open your eyes to other things. You start to look, and you start to go, wait a second, I didn't even see this before. I didn't know it was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know we experienced it with our daughter's passing, you know, as we look back and said, oh, you know, wait, what about this? And it's little things, and you start to gain a respect for those little things that probably wasn't there before. So how do you do that in your life when these bad things happen? How do you look for this good in the world?
Very, very good. Thanks, guys, for talking about that. Went a little deep early, but one thing I want to mention before I do the weather, and then we have the gospel, is that we're going to be off for the next few days. We're going to be playing best of programs. I will be heading down to Birmingham, Alabama to represent Holy Spirit Radio at the EWTN Radio Conference.
Awesome.
Frank has picked out some of our best programs that are going to be airing on Wednesday, Thursday, and
That was
Friday.
A hard thing to do, wasn't it, Frank? Pick out some of our best?
Because we have so many of them.
We have so many.
I don't think that's what Frank's thinking, Dave.
I know, he has this puzzled look.
I know this is radio, but that look says it all.
That's priceless.
The honest answer is, how do you fit it in and make it work in these spots so we can make sure we have the news and we make sure we have everything else and entertaining?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit more nuanced than that.
Yeah. If anybody could do it, Frank, it's you.
That's right. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention, too. I will be appearing on Catholic Answers Live this Friday, direct from Birmingham. Cy Kellett's going to be down there. We're going to do the show live. I'll be in the first hour at 6 p.m.
All right.
In case you say to yourself, you know what? I missed that Gary Zimek.
You're now bookends on that day.
That's right.
Really. We want more, Gary.
I'm sure that's a common theme among our listeners. You know what? I can't get enough of Zimek. He does 3 podcasts a day. You know that? Not enough still, right?
He doesn't sleep.
That's right. Anyway, I think it's time. I think.
Go.
I know. Don't rush me. I think it's time for the weather. Current temperature, I don't get no respect, I'll tell you. Current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, 43 degrees today, rain mostly afternoon, high near 50 tonight, low around 40. Wednesday, slight chance of rain in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a high near 52. At the present time in Malvern, it's 35. In Doylestown, it's 37. And in my hometown, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, it is 37 degrees as well. Mm. All right, let's get this gospel in today. The gospel comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." He replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner in which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have purchased a field and must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused. And another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have just married a woman and therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out, and still there is room.' The master then ordered the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedgerows and make people come, in that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner.'" It's very easy to look at this gospel and say, well, the chosen people, the Israelites, many of them rejected the Savior. Mm-hmm. End of story. Good thing I don't do that. Very easy to look at that. Mm-hmm. But the message Jesus has doesn't apply just to the people 2,000 years ago. It applies to us.
Yes. Does.
Just because we go to Mass every Sunday doesn't mean we're going to make it into heaven.
It's true.
We've got to love those people who drive us crazy. And we've got to realize some of those people are going to be in heaven before we get there, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Do you invite in the poor? Do you bring in, you know?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know,
ouch.
You know, ultimately, you know, we look at it, so many of these bigger things, and it's these are the details.
Absolutely.
That's right. And we look down on certain people, and Jesus loves everybody the same.
Absolutely.
We're asked to do the same thing. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsman. We'll be talking about Abraham. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 7th. Today we celebrate Saint Didacus. How many of us could be accused of being so generous with the poor that friends express concern about the depth of our charity? Most of us would probably be found innocent of such a charge if it were ever leveled against us, but today's saint didn't get off so easily. Didacus, or Diego, was born in Spain in 1400 and spent some time living as a hermit. After becoming a Franciscan brother, he developed a reputation for his heroic penances and legendary generosity toward the poor. He volunteered for the missions in the Canary Islands and worked there with great energy and success. In 1450, Didacus was sent to Rome to attend the canonization of St. Bernardine of Siena, a fellow Franciscan. Many of the friars attending the event became sick, and Didacus stayed for several months to nurse them back to health. Returning to Spain, Didacus pursued a life of contemplation full-time before his death in 1463. At his canonization in 1588, Didacus was praised for the holiness of his life and for his example. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. the uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Well, I called your name a long time ago, and you sprung a well from a heart of stone. But I was careful then what I let you see. Only thought you wanted the best of me. The less I trust you, the less I grow. The more you love me, the more I know. I don't have to be afraid to show all of me, all of me. Where there's hurt, you show me what healing can do. Where there's hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where there's fear deep inside, I won't run, I won't hide. I'll give you all of me so that you can see every broken piece and open up my my skin. You don't look away cause you understand, and you hold my heart with a gentle hand. Oh, where this hurting, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where this fear deep inside, I won't run, I won't hide. I'll give you all of me so that you can see every broken piece and open up my heart and love you with my whole heart. The less I trust you, the less I grow. The more you love me, the more I know. I don't have to be afraid to show all of me, all of me. Where this hurting, where there's sorrow and shame, enter into the pain. Where there's hurting, you show me what healing can do. Where there's hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where there's fear deep inside, I won't run, I won't hide. I'll give you all of me so that you can see every broken piece and open up my
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Whole Heart by Brandon Heath. That's a brand new song. I hope you enjoyed that. The time right now is 7:18. I want to thank you for listening to the program today. We are joined now by our friend Dr. John Bergsma. He's a full professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. John joins us to continue our walk through the book of Genesis, specifically a look at Abraham. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Gary. Great to be with you.
It's great to be with you, my friend. Hey, what's this rumor I hear about a new book by Dr. John Bergsma?
Well, some different things are coming out. I've got Psalms Basics for Catholics coming out with Ave Maria Press pretty soon here.
Oh.
My conversion story is, I think, just released by our Sunday Visitor, mm-hmm. called Stunned by Scripture.
Yeah, that's the one I had heard about.
Sure, folks that are interested in biblical apologetics will want to pick that up, because I explain how the Bible helped me get past several classic objections to the Catholic faith, like the Eucharist and the papacy, etc.
Wow.
So that's a fun book out.
Yeah, and I want to talk more about that in a few weeks, because that's a great topic. But John, you're giving us a bad reputation as Catholics. The Bible helped make you Catholic? I thought we weren't supposed to read the Bible.
Yeah, that's kind of my impression too. And then the guy who eventually became my sponsor, who was mostly responsible for converting me, he used to carry a New Testament around with him, still does,
wow.
I'm sure.
Wow.
And would quote from it all the time. And Yeah, set me a good example for how Catholics can really use Scripture.
That's right. And by the way, for the record, I was joking. If for our listeners out there are saying, wait a minute, we're not supposed to read the Bible? What's going on here? But I wanted to continue our walk through the book of Genesis. When we last spoke, we were talking about Abraham, how his name was changed. God made a covenant with him. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham's wife, Sarah, her name is changed as well. Is there a significance to that?
Yes, there absolutely is, because with Sarah, she, as well as Abraham, is entering into a new covenant relationship with God, and a covenant is a family relationship, and so that's why it's so often in Scripture when you initiate a covenant, when you come into a covenant relationship with God, you get a new name.
Right.
And we as Catholics, we're familiar with this because baptism, confirmation, we take a name, right?
Right.
And that's to designate, to show this new family relationship that that is in existence. So Sarah's name gets changed from Sarai to Sarah, and this designates this new relationship that's in existence now.
Okay, and I want to talk about this. This is Genesis chapter 17, verse 16. Now, these are the words of the Lord to Abraham. I will bless her, but moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Now, before we talk about Abraham's reaction, which I find to be very interesting, very human, what exactly is going on here?
Yes, this is a fulfillment of a promise, Gary, that was made back to Abraham back in Genesis 12, where it talked about making his name great. Mm-hmm. And in ancient culture, that great name referred to like a royal dynasty.
Okay.
And this is what we're seeing added into the covenant relationship here in Genesis 17, this promise of royalty that's going to come. And it's going to come through Sarah, Abraham's proper wife, not through, you know, additional wives, because God, you know, really blesses monogamy. That was the pattern back before the fall in the garden. And so she has this role, and, you know, we talk about the patriarchs, but the matriarchs are just as important. You know, it's complementarity, mothers and fathers. We work together to build up the kingdom of God, and so these holy women had just as important a role to play in bringing us salvation as their husbands.
Now, I may have forgotten this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Abram, at the time as he was known, Abraham, now was promised a descendant, multiple descendants, from that he would bear a child and he would have multiple descendants or whatever. But is this the first, and then he came up with this plan along with his wife Sarah that he would father a child with Hagar, Sarah's maid. But is this the first time the Lord said, no, Sarah will bear a child, she will have your child? Is this the first time this was mentioned?
Well, this is implied, you know, it was implied that it was through Sarah that that Abraham would be blessed, but it's made much clearer, obviously, here.
Okay.
And we got to keep in mind that in the previous chapter, that's where this plan to take Hagar as the additional wife, and you know, that was a deviation from God's plan, and that even has some relevance, Gary, to the act of circumcision that's taking place here. That's a circumcision is a bit of a symbolic, you know, restraint, so to speak, on the powers of procreation, which Abraham had misused in the previous chapter. And it's like, no, I want you to be restrained to this area and stick with your original wife, and that's part of the sign of the covenant then for the God's people thereafter.
Okay, interesting. I was leaving that part out, but I didn't realize it played such an important. It had such an important message, right? I mean, and that's. I'm glad
it really does, and it's interesting, Gary. I just want to comment on this because, you know, we read these texts and we don't always understand what's going on.
Yeah,
but circumcision was a covenant making ritual. And it had a meaning to it. When you cut off that piece of skin from your body, what you were saying was, may I be cut off, which is essentially cursed, if I don't keep the commitments that I am making in this ceremony.
Oh, wow.
So that was really the meaning of this ritual. So Abraham was making a commitment to God here and saying to God, may I be cursed, O Lord, if I do not keep the commitments that I'm making to you in this way. So it's helpful a little bit to know what the meaning of the ritual was.
And we see a person, Abraham, here, really growing in faith. And as he grows, God is revealing himself or his plan more and more, correct?
Exactly, exactly. In Genesis 15, you know, everything was, the promises were given to Abraham, and Abraham didn't have to make a sign of commitment. But here, two chapters later, Abraham is making this sign of commitment, affirming his faithfulness to God after God has affirmed his faithfulness to him.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I find interesting. This is Genesis 17, 17. After God told Abraham that Sarah would bear him a child, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? It's a very human reaction.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like, are you kidding me? Come on, Lord.
Right. In a way, it's like the reaction of our Blessed Mother, who said, you know, how can this be? Although this is an important difference, because our Blessed Mother asked in faith, and Abraham is kind of taken aback. The purity of his faith is not what it will be in our Blessed Mother later. But, you know, in both cases, I mean, this is typological. This is, you know, Isaac is much like Jesus in many ways, and both were miraculous births, you know, that couldn't happen by human means.
Right, right. Now, let's see, we have about 3 minutes left in our, actually 2.5 minutes left in our segment. At this point, Abraham responded to God, oh, that Ishmael may live in your sight. And then God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. What's happening there?
Well, a lot of things going on. Ishmael's like, hey, you know, God, can't you just bless my plan?
Right.
My methods, you know, my artificial reproductive technology.
That would be so much easier, Lord, right?
Yeah, right. Just, Lord, get with my program. And God says, no, you get with my program, which is supernatural and which depends on my strength and not your strength and so on. And then, of course, the name of the son, Isaac, which means laughter. It's a play, you know, on the fact that that Abraham laughed when he heard God's plan. And I think there's something profound about that for us, Gary. I mean, God's plans are oftentimes so supernatural and so unexpected to us that we just laugh, you know. And so we have a laughable God. You know, we have a God with a sense of humor who, like Pope Francis says, you know, a God of surprises who keeps us laughing with you know, the plans that he comes up that we didn't expect.
Absolutely. Boy, John, I've really been enjoying this series. Thank you so much for joining us again on the program. I know we're going into a lot of detail, but I think there's so many things we could miss with this story. Can you remind us where we can follow you online?
Absolutely. CatholicBibleTeacher.com will be my website.
Awesome. Dr. John Bergsma, thank you again. God bless you, my friend.
Absolutely, Gary. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Brian Mercier. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The gunman who killed 26 people at a small-town Texas church was able to buy weapons because the Air Force did not submit his criminal history to the FBI as required by military rules. The Air Force acknowledged yesterday that if the past offenses by the shooter had been properly shared, they would have prevented him from buying a gun. South Korea's presidential office says U.S. President Donald Trump and South Korean President Moon Jae-in have agreed to open working-level discussions between the countries over South Korea's potential acquisition of nuclear-propelled submarines. Moon said after his meeting with Trump that the two leaders agreed to cooperate on strengthening South Korea's defense capabilities through the acquisition or development of advanced weapons systems. Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. has announced free tuition for students reeling from hurricane devastation in Puerto Rico. This summer, the U.S. island territory was hit hard by Hurricanes Maria and Irma. CUA, in response, will waive tuition for up to 40 college students in Puerto Rico who wish to continue their undergraduate education. And the U.S. bishops have obtained a new web address just ahead of National Bible Week next week. The theme for next week's celebration from November 12th to the 18th is The Bible, a Book of Faith. It will commemorate the 25th anniversary of the Catechism. The USCCB has obtained the site Catholic.Bible as a new scripture resource for Catholics, which will include a survey about Bible use by Catholics, an RSS feed of the daily readings, a link to the New American Bible Revised Edition, and resources for Lexio Divina. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Therese of the Child Jesus. I know well that it is not my great desires that please God in my little soul. What he likes to see is the way I love my littleness and my poverty. It is my blind hope in his mercy. This is my only treasure.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Growing up in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, Dolly Parton's family had a lot of love and a lot of kids, but not a lot of money. However, those lean times inspired Dolly's songwriting, including her favorite song, Coat of Many Colors. The lyrics recall her mom using old rags to make her a coat just like Joseph wore in the Bible. In 2015, Dolly joined forces with her friend Sam Haskell to produce a TV movie based on that song. It not only got great ratings, it won a Christopher Award. And during an interview, Sam told me, "It's something that I don't think people are getting enough of today when dealing with socioeconomic and political times that are unsettling. To find something faith-filled, I think, is what brought the audience to us." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to
Spirit
in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Word of life, speak to my weary heart, strengthen my broken parts, lead me to your open arms. Word of truth, illuminate all these lies. The enemy speaks inside, and freedom I will rise. 'Cause you called me out.
Spirit.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Word of Life by Jeremy Camp. I'm Gary Zimek. It's great to have you with us today on this Tuesday morning. We're joined now by our friend Brian Mercier. Brian is the author. He's a speaker, and he's the author of the book, Why Do You Believe in God? You can find him online at Catholic Brian. That's BRYAN.org. Hey, Brian, good morning, my brother.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Hey, I got some bad news for you, my friend. Are you ready for some bad news today?
I'm sitting down.
All right. I was talking to the Holy Spirit on the way to the station, and you know what happens when I talk to the Holy Spirit. He gave me some new ideas about our interview. Are you good with that?
Sure.
Hey, Brian, I mean, you are such a patient guy, because over the past few days, I've discussed some potential ideas with you, because I think you do such a great job talking about, why do you believe in God? Why should we believe in God? You have a strong faith, obviously. You're really putting it on the line. But I also let the Holy Spirit try to lead these interviews, and, he gave me some ideas. So here's what I have for you today. I talked about the possibility of discussing with you. We look at the recent shooting in Texas. We look at hurricanes. We look at devastation. We look at terrorism. We look at all kinds of bad things in the world. Somebody's going to look at these incidents and say, I don't believe in God. Why would God allow these things to happen? Now, I know we have just about 10 minutes. But what do you say to somebody, before I take it in a different direction, what do you say to somebody who says that?
Well, I say a few different things. Number one, God didn't do it. We often blame God for these tragedies, but it's man who created these tragedies. If we remember, God created the world perfect. He wanted the world perfect. If we actually listened to him and did things his way, the world would still be perfect. He never wanted all these wars and terrorism and things like that. And so it was Adam and Eve and man who cooperated with the devil who brought this sin into the world. But if you remember Jesus Christ, even despite the fact that we messed everything up, he sent his son into the world to reverse the curse, in a sense. Wow. So, for example, everyone who is blind, he caused to see. Anyone who is deaf could hear. People he raised from the dead. He cast out demons. He forgave sins. Everyone who came to him who is sick, he healed. Why? Number one, to show that he never wanted all of this bad stuff to happen in the first place on earth. And number two, to show that if we follow him, he can heal us and help us through whatever we're going through, no matter what our circumstances are. And finally, number three, as a foreshadowing of heaven. I mean, when we were in the Garden of Eden, God allowed us to sin to show us that we are not God. He allowed suffering to come into the world to remind us that we are not God, that this world is not our home. We are not meant to be here forever. And every time there is suffering, it gives us the eternal perspective that we were meant for heaven. We were made for heaven. God's whole goal is to get us to heaven, and the greatest good in God's eyes is for us to get to heaven. And that's what God wants. And in fact, he says it'll be no terrorism and no pain and no anything like that forever and ever. And that's what Jesus reminds us of. And that's the hope that he gives us.
Brian, why is it that, and this is where the Holy Spirit was taking me today, why is it that some people can look at the events that took place, for instance, in Texas, horrifying what happened, half the victims are children, I mean, you look at that and you say, oh my goodness, look at that and say, we need to pray, and don't lose their belief in the Lord. Why is it some people can look at that incident and not lose belief, and other people look at it and say, see, there's proof that God doesn't exist. And in the same vein, when we look in the Bible, we will see numerous times where Jesus performed a miracle. He healed people, but he did it on the Sabbath. So we've got some people who say, this is a miracle, I believe. And other people look at that and say, yeah, but he did it on the Sabbath. This guy is a fraud. Why, right? Why is it that we have, and I don't know if there's an answer to this, but why is it that people can look at incidents like this and have vastly different reactions?
I would say it's because of the state of our hearts. And these kind of things reveal the state of our hearts.
Okay.
And in fact, the craziness over the guns and laws, and that's a whole different topic, but it's kind of revealed the moral war going on in our country right now. You know, some people are very hostile to God and to the idea of God and to the idea of praying, whereas other people, we need to rely on God. I mean, people can look at this tragedy and say, I need God. We need God because this wasn't from God. I mean, this is a clear-cut example that there is evil in the world. And I want to make that clear, that there's good and there's evil. And the people who see this and run to God and cling to God and say, we need to pray, realize the fact that there's evil in this world and it needs to be combated. We don't need to run away from God. We need to run to God because he's the only answer. Whereas I think other people, they're not heavenly minded. A lot of times they're not spiritually minded. They're very fleshy, you know. They kind of live in this world. They may know of God, but they don't really know God. If they knew God, they would run to him because he's the answer to all of our problems. You know, he allows these things to happen to remind us of this war that's going on, and we need to take a side. And let's just be honest for 1 second. If I can be frank on your show.
Oh, you sure can.
We've pushed God out of our country. Mm-hmm. We've pushed him out of our schools, out of our government. We've pushed him out of the public square. We've basically told God to take a hike. Get out of our lives, God. We don't want you bossing us around in our bedrooms or anywhere else. And so, you know what? God gives us free will, and he says, okay. And you know what? And then we blame him after we've told him to take a hike and don't help us out and don't come into our lives. We blame him for everything that happens. I guarantee you that the more our country continues to degenerate morally, the more these things continue to happen. Whereas the more this country follows God and chooses morality, I could almost guarantee that the things will stop happening at such a wide level. We're only getting worse the more irreligious we get, the more we walk away from God.
I agree with you, brother, and that was very well said. Now, here's a question I have for you to follow up on that. You mentioned that it has to do with our hearts, the openness or the hardness of our hearts. Brian, is it okay? Look, we all have ups and downs. You and I have conversed. We're both in ministry. We know there's a lot of ups and downs. A lot of times you're just not feeling it, but you keep on going. Is it okay to ask questions, even to question, is God real? Does he really care about me? Is that a bad thing?
I don't think it is a bad thing, actually. I think it's a good thing. I think for too long, through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and so, we were told not to question God. Yeah. And that's, you know what? God's not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our doubts. You know, he doesn't want us to follow like a bunch of blind lemmings off the cliff to our own peril.
Yeah.
He wants us to actually know what we believe. And here's the thing, Gary.
Yeah.
There's two different types of disbelief. There's people who just say, oh, well, this is stupid. I don't believe in God because he let that happen. And that shows where their heart's at. Whereas people who are like, wow, God, I mean, this is hard for me to take.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even understand what those people are going through in Texas. But and they're probably questioning, like, God, give me answers. Give me strength. I don't understand this. What's your plan in this? See, there's a difference in the attitude that we approach God with. One is with humility, and one is almost with hostility. And so I don't think it's bad to question God, because then God can lead us through our doubts and lead us to a mountaintop where we can actually see him and understand why he allows these things to happen a lot more.
I totally agree with you, and I've been there, I am there, I'll be there next week, you know, there's things, right? And I know you've gone through some rough stretches where we question, like, Lord, wait, where are you? But I found that when you do that, and you do it with an open heart, and when you do it with the idea that you are really seeking truth, you come out in a better place.
Absolutely. And I did that for 2 years. God put me through a really dark, dark trial time. And at the beginning, I was questioning God. And you know, almost not a good way. You know, it's more like putting him on trial. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know, how dare you let me go through this, God? I've been following you. And then eventually God convicted me of that, and I had to say, God, you know everything. I don't understand anything. I can't even see 3 seconds in front of my face. God, you see past, present, and future. You know all things, and you know how to bring good out of it all. I trust you. Doesn't make sense to me, but please help me to understand it. And once I got to the place of humility and emptying myself out before God, which, by the way, is a key to experiencing God and finding him a lot quicker, we do find him, and he does come into our life, and he does work. Humility is the key to God's heart.
You know what's funny? As you're saying that, I'm thinking, that's the book of Job, right there. I mean, right? That's Job's story. Job went through it all, and then the Lord, I love, you know, he spends like three chapters saying, okay, let me ask you a couple questions, Job. Where were you when I created the world? Right? And then he goes on at the end, Job says, all right, you win, you're right. And I mean, that is humility. It takes humility to be able to do that. Brian, we're just about out of time, but I want to talk directly to our listeners right now. Now, you just heard Brian Mercier. This guy is somebody you need to bring to your parish. Brian, if our listeners want to connect with you and bring you out to speak, and I highly recommend you because you are on fire, brother, where's the best place to do it?
The best place to go is to my website, www.catholicbrian.org, and it will talk all about my confirmation retreats, parish missions, apologetic seminars, and everything else, catholicbrian.org.
And you can also get the book, Why Do You Believe in God, at that website, too. Is that correct, Brian?
That is.
All right, awesome. Hey, brother, we got to get together one of these days. I need you to fire me up a little bit more.
I'd love to.
And on the air, Brian, I just want to thank you. You are such an important part, not only of Spirit in the Morning, but you're an important part of my life. So I thank you for being such a good friend.
All right, God bless, Gary.
God bless you. Keep up the good work, Brian Mercier. Dave Parker,
wow.
Can you feel
it,
brother?
That's all I can say.
I got
keep
nothing
it
to say after
God
that,
bless.
Except I'm going to take a break and drink some coffee. Be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
You gotta cry rain, tears of pain. give this world back to God. Oh, I give it back.
What a great message. That was Reba McEntire, Back to God. We got to give this world back to God. That's exactly what our guest Brian Mercier said before the break. If we ever expect things to get better in this world, we got to get the Lord involved. And we need to get on our knees, as that song said, and make sure we're praying every day. Complaining's not going to do anything, but we got to get back on our, we got to do what we can and get on our knees and ask the Lord for his help. I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Now it comes from John 9:32. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. These are the words of someone who watched Jesus heal the eyes, heal the blindness of an individual who had been blind since birth. The reason I included this verse in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and the reason it's part of the Be Not Afraid Bible verses that I use on this show, is because a lot of times we will look in our lives at situations and we will say, this has never been done before. I have never been able to get over this sin. I have never been able to get through this problem. I am not going to be cured of this disease. Any number of hopeless situations, right? We ignore the fact that God can do all things. There's plenty of evidence that Jesus Christ performed miracles while he was on this earth. He still does them today because he doesn't change. Open your Bible, take note of that. And if you think that the Lord can't bring about peace in the world, then you're wrong. He can. But it starts with you and me. We've got to do something. So today, let's make it a point to do that. Dave Parker,
yes,
today's
Gary.
Election day.
Yeah, it is.
It's our duty, not just our civic duty, but our duty as Christians
exactly.
to vote if we can, if
exactly.
we're able to get out and vote.
Exactly.
I mean, some people can't get out of the house, I understand
exactly.
that.
If you're homebound, that's another issue. But if you need a ride, let a neighbor know. And they can go, when you're going to the polls, go. Or if you're a good neighbor, go knock on the door of someone you know that needs a ride.
Yeah.
And say, hey, can I help you out? Take you to the polls, let me know. Let's go now. Go get dressed, you know. We'll go now.
Frank Eliason, there is a lot, and I'm guilty of this too, there's a lot of complaining in the world. It's very easy to say, this person's wrong, I don't like this, I don't like that. But we can do something about these things. This is a prime example.
Well, you know, it's stepping back from complaining. Complaining's the easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, it is.
It's offering judgment. It's being able to, you know, and you know what? Step back. What can you do about it? Can I be that positive light? Can I be the light of Jesus?
Yeah.
And if you can, in your actions, that's where, you know, that's what it's about. And so it's taking those actions and really showing that love.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't succumb to the groupthink of negativity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and we, in the, oh, man, that's bad, that's bad. Well, if we're going to succumb to groupthink, let's have it in Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, let's all,
let's
you know,
give him some credit, right?
Let's get back. We're all in different parts of our journey and paths, but put God at the center of your lives.
Yeah,
that's what Brian said. That's what Reba said.
And it starts with with me, right? Mm-hmm. Right,
yes.
Dave and Frank? I mean, sometimes we'll say, well, I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, you do what you're supposed to do. That's, you know.
As Christians, we have a duty.
You can do a lot.
Yeah.
It all starts with one person.
Yep.
That's the
motto.
Amen,
brother.
That's why the Christophers are a part of this program, and we do our daily Christopher Minutes, because their motto is that it's better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Amen.
Why Tony Rossi's on the show. That's why we do the Christophers, because it's so easy to complain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yet, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray, to turn to him, and then go out and do what we can in so many different ways.
You know, complaining, it's kind of one of the challenges in the world, especially with social media. We're so connected. And it's like, you know, that ball rolling down the hill.
Yes.
And it happens, you know, once you start seeing it, it just snowballs and becomes this boulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you could be the one to stop that boulder. Mm-hmm. You can be the one to step back and do it a little differently.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's hard to do because mm-hmm. sometimes that means, you know, stepping outside everybody else does. It's so easy to pile on when everybody's going saying this one thing.
Yeah.
Why, it validates everything I want to say. So, yes, this jerk and this, that. Yeah. No. If you step back and be mm-hmm. Christ, mm-hmm. Christ-like,
yes,
you know, and be that differing person.
Yeah. Look at the saints.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all kind of, hey, I'm not going with the flow here. I'm going to, I mean, because they took a stand based on their belief in Christ. And, I mean, as our Redeemer and Savior. And they had the power of the Holy Spirit. And like, why did they go that direction? I mean, to the point, like, we, you know, too often we go with the herd.
Yeah.
And I think Brian said that, you know, we get the lemming effect.
Yeah.
We got to stop that.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Stand up.
And look at the life of Christ himself, how he was treated. He was constantly, he had people attacking him repeatedly. And he told us, that's right in Scripture, that if you expect to follow me and not be persecuted, forget it. It's not going to happen. If they persecuted me, Christ said, they're going to persecute you.
He was not hanging out with all the popular crowd. He was hanging out with the sinners. He was hanging out with the poor. You know, the people we like to shun sometimes.
Yes.
He was hanging out with them.
And he got a lot of pushback for that, too.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And we give pushback to this day. We do it within the church. We do it all the time when, you know, people are doing just those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and we have to look at it in the long view, I call it. You know, hey, we have to answer to God. When we all close our eyes for the
key,
final
Dave.
Time, we're going to meet our Maker. And what are we going to say to him when he said, what did you do for me when you were here? You know, do you take care of the poor, the hungry? And you know all that.
Just simply ask yourself, what would Christ do in any given situation?
That's right. Amen.
That's right. And when we are judged, it's not going to cut it if I say, well, Lord, Dave Parker told me it was okay. Right? I mean, that's not, you're not going to be there with
me, brother,
at that time.
And you're not going to be able to do, he was doing it too.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not going to work.
Adam and Eve tried that. That didn't work out too well for them. Well, she told me to eat the apple.
Yeah. And that snake thing, that snake creature.
Guys, we are just about out of time. And in case you are just tuning in and you didn't hear the news, for the next 3 days, we're going to be playing best of shows. I'm going to be headed down to Birmingham, Alabama, to represent Holy Spirit Radio at the EWTN Radio Conference. It's been a good couple of shows this week.
Yes, yeah.
But I think we're pushing our luck, so that's why we're taking a few days off. Right?
All right. Come on now, Gary. You know, we've been pumping out some good shows. And, I mean, Frank's going to pull out, you know, the five good shows and dust them off.
Five?
I don't know. I just picked that. You know, that would go into our opening segment when we made light of that.
Days. 3 days, Dave.
I know, but you have five to choose from, you know? You have more than three.
All right. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Remember, go out to vote and do what you can to make this world a better place today. I'm Gary Zimak, and remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. So take confidence in that fact and make sure you say hi.
Love
you.
God bless
you. All right. Yeah. Bye-bye.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating